You know, in Psalms 1, verse number 3, and we're talking about being rooted in God's word this morning. We're talking about being rooted. And that being rooted simply means, you know, what's the purpose of a root? You know, if I stop and I think about a root, a root of a tree or a root of a vegetable, it's planting season, right? I mean, I've been planting, and I know some of you have been planting your gardens, and you've been out working and stuff, and I know that. It's that season of planting time. It's that season of things growing. And as they grow in their faith, in their education, in their purpose, as they grow, you know, we want to kind of see that off. Well, Psalms 1, verse number 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever doeth shall prosper." Amen. So it's the root of a plant that determines what? That determines the success of that plant. You know, we see these beautiful trees, but without the root, they wouldn't be stable enough to withstand even any lightest storms that comes through. So a root system underneath a tree gives the tree stability. It's what anchors that tree in the dirt, right? Now, also, that root system holds a really good purpose in the ecological system of that tree, because without the root system, that tree would never get the water and the nutrients that it needs to grow. Right, so really, the most important part of a tree is not even what you see. You see it. It's what's under the dirt that matters. It's what's under the dirt that gives that tree the energy, the nutrients that matters. And I would like to say, as Christians, it's what's inside, it's what people can't see that really matters. And when we can be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, we can be like that river that's planted by rivers of living water. We can be like that tree that's soaking up that water and that nutrients from the soil or from Christ Jesus, because we've been rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons why we give them a Bible as they graduate. Why? Because we want them to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Because we know that if they get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, we know that that will be the energy source for the rest of their life. Amen? And when you become rooted and grounded, not only do you get strength, not only do you get energy, not only do you get nourishment from Christ Jesus, but you also get stability. And how many of you know that we live in a society now where a lot of our young kids need more than ever is stability? Amen? They need the stability. But just like a tree is planted in the dirt, those roots take time to develop. Amen? Those roots take time to develop. And when they start developing, the roots will grow and it will bring stability. I would love to stand up here today as a youth pastor and say that from this day forward, your life is going to be cupcakes and rainbows from this day forward. It's going to be great. Everything's going to be perfect. Come to know Jesus, and your life's going to be great. But I would be lying from this pulpit if I told you that. Because the truth of the matter is you will face opposition. Graduates, you will face trials and struggles. You will face storms. You will face situations that you think you cannot handle them. And you might not be able to handle them. But I gave you the tools today, graduates. I gave you the tools to be able to withstand, to give you the anchor for your life. And if we, even as Christians, can get a hold of the Word of God and get anchored in His Word and know His promises and what His promises say for us, then when we face those storms in our life, when we face that opposition, when we go through things, guess what? We will be able to withstand the greatest storms in our life. Because why? Because we know where our strength comes from. Amen? Because we know that our strength comes from Him. You know, the purpose of that root, I told you, was to bring nutrients, was to bring water, was to bring strength, was to bring stability. How many of you know that when we get rooted in Jesus, those same things take place in our life as well? Amen. And we'll be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of living water that bring forth what? Fruit. You know, so I'd like to talk a little bit about not just the roots, but I'd like to talk a little bit about fruits today too. Because without roots, there is no fruit. And as Christians, we are called, in Galatians, we are called to have fruits. We know the fruits of the Spirit. We know the fruit. Well, without the roots in Christ Jesus, we can never develop the fruit that we need. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Ephesians 3, verse number 14. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word this morning. I know I've read several of scriptures already this morning, and I know we've kind of started out a little different, but amen, I feel God's presence this morning. Amen. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom my whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may, being rooted and grounded in love, may ye be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth understanding, that ye might be fulfilled with the fullness of God." You may be seated today. You know, it's our prayer that Christ dwells in our hearts today, that we're rooted and grounded in love. Amen, in love. Now, we see, I talked about not having, you know, if we don't have roots, if we're rooted in love, if we're rooted in Christ Jesus, if we don't have roots, we're not going to have fruit. So what are some of the fruits that we as Christians should possess? You know, we should be walking around, and there should be evidence that of the fruit that we're offering, right? So Galatians 5, verse number 22 says this. We're going to learn about the fruits of the Spirit this morning. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Amen. The joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Amen. Temperance. "Against such these there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be divorced over vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." Amen. So the fruits of the Spirit, you know, we see here that the fruit of the Spirit is what we should be possessing. We should be possessing love as Christians, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience. It says, "Love is the greatest of all the fruits. It is the defining characteristics of a true follower of Jesus." Right? Without love, what are we? Right? Without love, how can we truly call ourselves to be a Christian? We are rooted in God's love. We naturally produce love to others, right? So the first fruit of the Spirit. So if I have a healthy plant and I have a healthy tree and it's producing fruit, if I got an apple tree and that apple tree is producing fruit, it has to have good roots, right? And when it has good roots, it produces good fruit. So as Christians, we can kind of look at a situation and we can say, well, that person really has a lot of good fruit. You know, a lot of people say that the Bible says, oh, we're not allowed to judge anybody. We can't judge anybody. But the Bible says, judge them by the fruits that they bear. Amen? So I'm not saying that we're a judgmental church, because we're not. But also, you should be able to look at somebody and see, are they possessing the fruits of the Spirit? Are they walking out their life as living for Christ and possessing the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. You know? Amen. So it's that. So the greatest of these is love. The next is joy. Joy is dependent on circumstances, but it is a deep, abiding sense of happiness that comes from knowing Christ Jesus. Amen? It's also the result of being in a relationship with Christ. When we develop the roots in that relationship with Christ, we're going to have joy in our life. You know, peace. True peace comes from trusting God and surrendering our will to His will. Peace is the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's guarding our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, peace, it's the peace that when everything is going completely chaotic and wrong, it's the peace to be able to put your head down at night and have a good night's sleep. It's the peace when everything's going to find peace in the midst of turmoil. You know, to find peace in those bad situations, right? Forbearance is the next gift of fruit of the Spirit. And that's simply patience. And I know I got to work on that a little bit. And my wife would amen that, right? It's the ability to endure difficult circumstances with a calm and trusting spirit. It comes from knowing that God is in ultimate control, right? You hear me, church? It's knowing God is ultimately in control. You know, we see kindness and goodness. Now, those are simple characteristics of God that every one of us should possess on a daily basis. It's the goodness of God. It's the kindness. We should go around with that characteristic of our life. There are expressions of love in action. You hear me? Kindness and goodness is the expression of love in action. It's kind of putting your faith to work, right? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is steadfastness. It's reliability. It's saying that you're going to be there, and you'll be there, right? It's saying that you're trustworthy, you're dependable. It's reflecting God's faithfulness back to us. Gentleness. You know, a lot of times people think gentleness is just meek and humble. But I like to see gentleness as strength under control. You hear me, church? Gentleness. It's the fact that you can do something about it, right? But you choose to have gentleness. It's strength under control. Self-control is the ability to master our desires and our impulses. It is living a disciplined life. It is guiding by the Holy Spirit. You see, that is what self-control is. How many of you know if we're going to be rooted and grounded in God's love and God's word, we have to practice self-control? Whether it's eating, whether it's anything, we have to practice self-control. We have to know the ability to master our desires and our impulses. Amen? So we see here that those are the fruits of the Spirit. And we as Christians should possess those fruits on a daily basis. But how many of you know that sometimes that as Christians we don't possess those fruits all the time, right? We don't walk around with that, you know, with every one of those fruits of the Spirit all the time. But we strive for that every day. We work towards that every day, right? I'm not saying that we don't fall short from God's glory, but so if we see a healthy tree, we know that it has healthy roots. So if we see the fruits of the Spirit manifested on the outside, how are the roots that are taking place on the inside or that tree? Chances are they're good. And when I say the roots, I mean your personal time with Jesus. How do you develop roots? You spend time in prayer. You spend time reading your word. You spend time with God on an intimate basis. You spend time fellowshipping with other believers. Those are all things that develop the characteristics of a good root system, right? The characteristics of a good root system. You know, I would like to say this. You know, when you're rooted and grounded in God's word and you're rooted and grounded in God's church, amen, you're going to be here. You're going to be, when the word of God is opened, you're going to be present. You're going to be in the house of God. Why? Because that's what where you gain your nutrient value from when the word of God is opened. Amen. So we as Christians, if I go out there and I don't, if you got a young tree or a young plant, and I know Sheila gardens and I know a lot of you gardens, and if you go out gardening and you're out there gardening and you go weeks upon weeks without any nutrients or water, what happens to that plant? It dies. But still yet, Christianity, sometimes we think that we can go weeks and months without attending the house of God. We think we can go weeks and months without praying or without reading our Bible. We think we can do all those things. But what happens is spiritually, we become withered and we die. And spiritually, we may be alive enough to be present, but we're not spiritually strong enough and rooted in God's word enough to actually manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Do you hear me? So if you're not in God's word, you're not going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. If you're not in prayer, you're not going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Now, those fruits is what sustains us as Christians. Those fruit, it's nutrient value, right? So we as Christians have got to sometimes look at, if we're not producing the fruit, why? It's the root cause. How many of you know that when you get to the root of the problem, it's the stem of the problem, it's the beginning of what happened, when, and why? And you know, there's people that will spend thousands of dollars and talk to therapists to come up with what? To come up with the root of the problem of why they are, why they act, why they do what they do when they do it. Right? Because it's the root problem or the root cause of their actions today. And it's the same with Christianity, right? We can be church hurt one day, or we can have something, and that root cause of that sin or that problem will cause us to eventually not produce fruit and dry up and be withered. It's the root cause. So we have to look at the cause and identify the problems in the root system. If you see somebody that's not producing fruit, and it doesn't look appealing, and it's not appealing fruit, then there's a problem with the roots. Basically, what I'm trying to say is a root is seen underground. You don't see roots. It's what happens and takes place underground. So if there's a problem that's visible on the outside, guess what? That first problem first had to take place in something that wasn't even seen underground. How many of you know that even though we may think we get by with things, we may think that things happen and we may go through this life and you may think, oh, there's nothing there, but how many of you know that if we're not producing fruit, there's a problem with the roots? There's a problem with the things that are happening that's not being seen. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, we go through Christianity in this walk, and when we, you know, our personal walk with Jesus is not seen. You know, you see the singers come up and sing, and they worship. You see the Sunday school teachers teach, and you see, you know, me preach. But, hey, guess what? That is the top. That's the fruit. That's not the root. The root is when I get in my word and I read my scripture and I read my Bible when nobody else is looking. The roots is what's happening in the dark. You hear me? You know, people will say what happens in the dark will eventually come to light. You hear what I'm saying? What happens in the dark will eventually come to light. You may think something's happening in the dark, but guess what? Eventually, you're going to see the fruits, and if something, you're not seeing fruits, the reason why you're not seeing fruits is because of what's happening in the dark, because there's a root problem. Now, that root problem may be a lack of connection with Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If ye are not abiding in Christ, we will not bear fruit. It's the lack of communication with Christ. Maybe the lack of fruit or the root of the problem is sin or unconfessed sin. Maybe the lack of or the root of the problem would be bitterness or unforgiveness. Maybe the root of the problem would be worldly desires or distractions or lusts of the flesh. Maybe the root of the problem is simply a lack of trust of God. You see, when we can develop and identify the root problem, we can start developing a plan to basically regrow those roots, to get connected back to Christ on a deeper level, to have a deeper prayer life, to pray, to seek God, to meditate, to study. You know, Galatians 7, verse number 16 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. That means it's got a good root system. It brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, thy worker of iniquity. You know, if we turn our Bibles over to John 15, verse number 1. John 15, verse number 1 talks about Jesus being the roots, right? It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bringeth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean, though, the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, if you're going to bear fruit, you're going to have to abide in him. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words, the word of God, abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Hereon is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Amen. Keep my commandments. Ye shall abide in love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How many of you know if we keep God's commandments, we're being rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ? Amen. Matthew 7, verse number 16. No, I read that one already. Ye shall know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Amen. Our life will be known by the fruits that we possess. You hear us, church? Our life will be known by the fruits we possess. Now, it's a growth process, just as young kids graduate and move forward and they go. It's a growth process. We understand that you go plant a strawberry tree, guess, or you go plant a strawberry plant, the first year you're not going to get any fruit off of that plant, right? You go plant something, you're not going to get something off of it. You go plant an apple tree the first year, you're not going to get an apple, right? But when you prune it, when you shape it, when it grows, when it gets deeper, when it develops a stronger root system, then what happens? Starts producing fruit. We as Christians should be producing fruit. You hear me? We, and I know a lot of us are, we're producing fruit. And we're raising these kids up to produce fruit. That wherever they go, they'll be known by the fruit that they bear. And that fruit will be prosperous. That fruit will be good. Amen. How many of you know that Jesus is the true roots of our life? He's growing. He's living inside of us. You know, Matthew 12, verse number 33, says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. If our life is going to be marked with good fruit, it's going to be marked with Christ. We're going to be rooted in his word. You know, the definition of character and integrity is doing the right thing when nobody else is looking. It's doing the right thing in the dark. It's doing the right thing when nobody else can see. It's having that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ when nobody else is around. It's getting alone with him. It's getting in your prayer closet or your prayer spot when nobody else is looking, when nobody else is around, and just having open dialogue, communication with him. And those are the roots that we establish. I don't know about you, but the times that we're living in, we need strong Christians. We need men and women that can stand up and weather some storms. We need Christians that are strong and not weak. So if you have areas in your life that are not fruitful, you know, your life may have some fruit, but you may have areas in your life that is not fruitful. You may have struggles, and maybe the area is that your marriage isn't fruitful, or maybe the problem is that your finances isn't fruitful. But if we can identify the root cause of why we're not producing fruit in those areas, and we can establish the root base in Christ, guess what? Before long, we'll start establishing fruit in those areas. Before long, it may be small, may be insignificant, but growth is still growth, right? I feel God's presence in the house, and I know I didn't preach the house down, and I know that I didn't shout this morning, and I know that, you know, it was just a simple message on growth and fruit. And roots. So let's come to this altar this morning. Maybe we need to get grounded. Maybe we need to find ourselves back in the dirt and praying and seeking God. Get connected back to Him. Let's come to this altar tonight and let's pray.